to what Brother Thurman said and wholeheartedly agree. I gave an oath to the Constitution five times in less than 14 years, but I didn't need to give it five times. I believe the first time I gave it was good enough for the rest of my life.
Amen.
And I gave a covenant to the Lord Jesus Christ the day I got saved that He was going to rule and direct my life. Now, I haven't always let Him do that. There have been times I've had to go back and say, I'm sorry, and remake that covenant. Amen. But there was that time I said, Lord, you got to be the one that run it. And we've got to get busy letting Jesus be Jesus in our life and serving God. Brother Danford and I have talked about it a lot. There could be a revolution coming. But unless we have another great awakening, it's for naught. It's for naught. Because the only reason our first revolution worked was because of the great awakening.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm not going to preach his sermon. I'll get all wound up and be all over the place. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And chapter 4. And that I really, in many ways, you know, as one of the younger preachers, in fact, probably the youngest preacher here, amen. Sometimes you don't feel like that you're qualified to preach some things before the elder men of God, and I say that with respect. But at the same time, we know that it's not the preacher bringing the message, it's the Lord, it's the Lord's word that is being said, as long as we stick with the Word of God. Amen. So we look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the Word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Lord, fill my lips with what you once said, and we'll praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We all know this portion of Scripture, amen? We've probably preached on it multiple times. We've heard preaching on it hundreds of times. We've read it who knows how many times, amen? We know this. We also know that 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus are the pastoral epistles. And for those of us specifically that are pastors, this is written to us. But I would say that a man who's an evangelist, a man who's a church planner, they are God's men as well that should follow what God's word says in the pastoral epistles, including all the qualifications. Amen. When an evangelist stands behind the sacred desk of a pastor, amen, he's standing there in his place. He needs to have the same qualifications. Amen. So before I start hitting the rabbit trail, let me go on. But we know that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul's giving Timothy, his son in the faith, this charge as a preacher of the gospel. Paul knows that he's getting ready to go off the scene. He knows that his time is short, and he's wanting to give Timothy these last words of exhortation. And what we find is this charge here that he gives him as a preacher of the gospel. And that charge is, first and foremost, preach the word. Preach the word. Now, Brother Harvey preached a tremendous message on our commission. Man, I don't even have the outline all again, right, brother? But we're to win souls, amen. That's the first thing. We need to win souls. If we're not soul winners, why should our people be soul winners, amen? But here's the thing: part of that, part of our calling, part of our charge from God is to preach the word. That's going out as a soul winner preaching the word. That's preaching the word in our homes. That's preaching the word on the streets. That's preaching the word in our pulpits. We are to preach the word. He tells us there, as we preach the word, that we are to be instant in season, out of season. What is it to be instant? Man, there's many times, you know, that I think I know something that I don't know what I think I know, amen? And all these years, I look at instant, and I think of instant. You know, we need to ready right then and there. But what the word instant is talking about is pressing or urgent. The Bible's telling us here that you and I, in the preaching of the Word of God, it should be pressing and urgent in our life to get the Word of God out to the people. He tells us that it's in season, out of season, and we see that this means that word season means importunate or earnest even, yeah. That hey, it doesn't matter whether it's a good time to do it or it's a bad time to do it. It doesn't matter if it could get us a whooping from the government or if it could get his heads chopped off or if it's going to give us an amen. We need to preach the Word of God. Instant, in season, out of season. We find that the three things that preaching should do is reprove, rebuke, exhort. We find that those things, reprove means to charge with a fault to the face. Amen. Man, I tell you, I am so thankful for preachers of the Word of God that will tell me you're in sin. Amen. And tell me exactly why it's sin. And man, we just don't have much of that these days. I'm telling you, he's talking about the political realm on some of this stuff. Man, I am so sick of an independent Baptist preacher that's in our state house that we have to worry what he's going to do on these things. We have a bill up there that's going to allow abortion for life of the mother and for instances of rape and incest and all this. And he's okay with that. He's okay with that. In fact, he brought his own bill trying to get it passed that gave exceptions. He won't stand on abolishment and say, that's murder. We need to save those babies. He won't do it. That's a shame. Why? Because I don't think he has a backbone in my personal opinion, but he won't reprove. Man, if I was up at that state house, that'd be part of my job as a preacher to reprove right there, amen? And would it be very, it would not be instant in season, out of season, maybe. It would not be in season. But I tell you, I'm just going to name it Timothy Wesco, amen? You all need to call him. I've tried to call him multiple times. He won't even talk to me. I've tried to call him and say, hey, brother, as a preacher of the Word of God, we need you to stand up there, and he won't even talk to me. Folks, listen, we got to reprove. The next one was the rebuke. What is that? To check or restrain, to chasten, to punishment. Oh, man, think about that. Everybody thinks that the preacher, that it's not his lane to chasten or rebuke or punish. Amen. Hey, you just get up there and you preach on Sunday, and then you just keep your mouth and make sure the message isn't anything that's going to reprove, amen, but exactly don't make it anything that's going to rebuke. Folks, we got to remember this is our charge as preachers, not only to reprove, but to rebuke, and then it says to exhort. That word exhort means to incite by words or advice. Man, we ought to excite people to do right in our preaching. If your preaching's not exciting to you, how do you think it's going to be exciting to them? Amen? Just think about it. I mean, there's often I get in the pulpit and I think, man, I just blew that one. But I still get excited that I was preaching. Amen? I get excited that God would let me do that. Amen? We need to exhort each other. So what does that really mean? If you look at Romans chapter 3 real quick, he brings it together there. Romans chapter 3 and verse 18. Nope, that's not the word I'm at. 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Think about this. We're trying to give out what God's word says so all mouths will be stopped and every man comes guilty before God. So what are these three things? Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Reproving is telling what is wrong. Rebuking is telling what are the woes of that wrong. What's going to happen if you continue in that wrong? And then the exhorting is to tell how to walk. Hey, how? how you are supposed to live. Hey, you're living wrong. This is what's going to happen if you keep living wrong. This is how you live right. That is the charge of a preacher of the Word of God when we preach the Word of God. It's not to get up there and tickle the ears. It's not to get up there and make them feel like they're okay. And you know, I'm thankful for Brother Harvey skinning my hide the other night. I like it when we left that night. I said, man, that was some preaching there. And my mom said, we need more preaching like that. Amen. Yeah. Just get our hide skinned from time to time. Telling me, hey, you're wrong here if you're doing this. This is what's going to happen if you're doing it. And this is what you need to do right. Amen. Folks, listen, we've got to preach the word. This is our charge. Secondly, we need to persist in the work. He says there, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I didn't mean to skip it, but yeah, it is with all long suffering and doctrine. Amen. We need to preach in love, but everybody thinks preaching in love is just, you know, being nice. No, preaching in love is telling the truth. Amen. But at the same time, not having hatred towards those we're preaching this to. Amen. We need to have that long suffering, and we need to do it based on the Word of God. That's the doctrine. Amen. All right, now I get to my second point. So we get here. We are to persist in the work, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We're in that time.
That's exactly right, preacher.
People don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what some man's word of wisdom is. They want to hear what this old preacher over here says. They want to hear. But when you tell them what God's word says, well, I don't agree with that. Don't matter if you agree with it. I had a man, I'm trying to tell him, you know, his family's falling apart, and I'm trying to tell him, bro, hey, brother, you know, one of the things is you don't show the house of God important to your family. You're out for this reason, that reason. You take the kids to another church on Wednesday nights during part of the year so they can be part of their children's program, because we don't have a children's program, and all this other stuff, and you're showing your children it's not important. Oh, I just don't agree with that. It don't matter. It's the Word of God. You're to be faithful to your house of God. People just don't want to hear what the Word of God says anymore. But that doesn't mean that our charge changes. We're to persist in the work. We are to continue telling them what God's Word says. What does this mean? We are to ignore their doctrines. Somebody comes in the church. And my dad had this quite a bit, amen? So I haven't had it so much yet. I don't know if they just don't think they're going to get it. I don't know how they would have ever thought they could have gotten it with my dad. But the people would walk in, and they'll want to join. But they'll be like, but if I join, you know, I think we're going to have to change some things. And my dad's like, well, then I guess you don't think you ought to join, because we ain't changing some things, amen? They want you to do what they want to do. Man, I was talking to another preacher the other day about that, how people coming to this church and wanting to change things in the church. And it's not them coming and saying, hey, preacher, you know, I see this in the Bible. Can we add this? Or you know, I see this in the Bible, and I don't see this quite being done here. What about it? No, they're saying, hey, you know, I don't agree with what you're saying the Bible says, and I think we need to do it this way. Well, I don't care what you think we ought to do. You're not the preacher, amen?
Amen,
and you're definitely not the Word of God.
Yes. Amen.
We are to persist in the work. Ignore their doctrine. He says there, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. We need to ignore their doctors, amen? Brother Michael Thurman came and preached our missions conference here at the beginning of the year and had a great time. And I told our people, I said, one of the things I love about Brother Thurman is he is an educated man that doesn't flaunt it. He doesn't, I'm doctor, you know. There was a preacher, I know a preacher here in Indianapolis. He got his doctorate degree just not too long ago. And he come in, talked about it, and I was like, well, that's good, brother, that's good. And he said, no, it's doctor. And he was dead serious. He was dead serious. I'm like, okay, brother. And sometimes we let the education go to our head, and most of the time that education don't help us a whole lot, amen. I'm thankful for men that have it and use it the right way, like Brother Thurman, amen. I'm thankful for that. And man, I believe in it. I got my master's degree and all that. I don't know if I'll ever get a doctor. I'm just too lazy to do that. But it's not a thing against education, but what education does to some. They think they know more than God's word does. I'm a doctor. And you need to make sure you recognize that. Man, ignore their doctors. Amen. Most of them are teachers that want to tickle the ears. That's it. We need to then, he says there in verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from truth and shall be turned unto fables. We need to ignore their directions. Just because that church is going down that path and just because it's filling their pews with people doesn't mean we need to go down that path. There is an old path, amen, that we need to stay on. There is a narrow way that many do not find, but we need to stay on it. I'm sick and tired of seeing independent Baptist churches going down the wrong path. And it's all because they got a limp noodle preacher in the pulpit that won't stand, as Brother Thurman just said we need to in these days, and preach the word of God. I'm sick of it. I might be young. I might be the youngest preacher in here. I tell you, we need some young preachers that'll stand. I'm thankful for Brother Morris that stands. I'm thankful for Brother Patnod that stands, for Brother Thurman, for Brother Harvey. I'm thankful for the older men of God that stand. And I didn't call you an old man because you and I are about the same age, so we're both young men. Amen. I'm thankful for the older men of God.
Yes, sir.
And Brother Danford's still on the young end, but he's about to get on the old end. Amen. He's got one more year, I told him. One more year, and he's on the old end. He'll turn 60. Amen. Of course, when I get to about 60, I'll be saying I'm still young. But serious, we need some young men that'll stand. How many of the old men of God passed away this past couple years? How many of them? Who's going to stand in the gap? Who's going to stand? We need you older men to continue exhorting us to stand. And keep being the example of standing. Because I tell you, there's been a lot of older men of God that in their older days, they said, you know, it's just too much to stand. I got a book here not too long ago. Another preacher that I highly admire recommended this book, and I got it, and I started reading it. Wonderful, wonderful book, Standing on Baptist Doctrines. Amen. And just talked about this, standing on these doctrines, and he's laying out the Baptist distinctives and all this. And I was like, man, this is great. And I was posting some of the excerpts from it on Facebook and everything. And a friend of mine contacted me, and he said, hey, brother, it's a good book, but be careful. The guy who wrote it has gone away. Really? I'm like, what? So I looked it up. Sure enough, the church he pastored in Texas, he is now kind of like a pastor emeritus or whatever they want to call it nowadays. He's kind of in that position, but he's still there. He should still be influencing that church. But the guy he brought in that is now the pastor has changed everything. There's the little glass pulpit in the front, you know, they got rid of the piano, now it's a worship team and all this other garbage. They got the bouncy ball on the screen and the lights just right, you know, and all that other garbage. They've changed. They're about to probably take Baptist off their name. And here's the man who wrote, stay with it. And he's sitting in the pulpit saying, oh, I love my pastor, I love this church. And I'm sorry, if you hand it over and he goes wrong, it's time to go find another church and show you don't stand with that junk. We need to ignore their directions. As men of God, we have been given a charge that no matter what the times show, whether they want it or not, you preach it. Whether everybody else is doing it or not, you don't do it. Hey, if they're going down that direction that is not biblical, don't go down it. So we need to preach the word. We need to persist in the work. And lastly, we need to prove our watch. But watch thou, verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Those of us who are in the military, that word watch is a very recognizable word, isn't it? We stood watch quite a few times, didn't we? Amen. I remember we were out in the field at Fort Bragg one time, and we had our two-man fighting positions dug around the perimeter, and you had your guys out on guard one night, and our platoon sergeant went out to check the guard at night, and he got to one of those foxholes, he looks in, and the man's asleep. The man's asleep. Now, this was back in the early 90s. They'd never do this today, I can tell you that. He said, "Hey, private, wake up." He didn't wake up. "Hey, private, wake up." He didn't wake up. So he took his M16, bam, right across his helmet, woke him up. Amen. When you're on watch, you're to be awake, you're to be active, you're to be looking and making sure the enemy's not coming. When I went to basic training, I had a special forces drill sergeant. And man, he was hard as nails. And he wanted to make us hard as nails. His little thing was he would yell out to us, "If you want to be hard," and we'd have to yell back to him, "You got to live hard." Amen. And he wanted to make us hard soldiers. And when we start doing those things, a perimeter watch and guard shifts and all that, he told us the story of how in Vietnam, that the Vietnamese would sneak up to the perimeters of the men who were out in the jungle on patrol, and they would watch for the guy who was supposed to be keeping watch. And if that guy fell asleep, they'd sneak in and kill everybody but that guy. Kill them all. That way, when he woke up, he found out what his sleep had just done to the rest of his team. We're to be on watch, folks. We got teams. Amen. My True Light Baptist Church is my main team. Amen. That's my fire team right there, amen. But there's a battalion out here of the Lord's army, amen. That includes Victory Baptist Church and Shadland Baptist Church and what is the name of your church again, bro? Something. Amen. That's part of our battalion. If my fire team falls asleep on its job, it might affect this part of the battalion over here. We got to be awake and we got to be watching and making sure. In this, we need to be a sheepdog, specifically in our churches. This is to preachers, amen?
Amen.
We need to be sheepdogs in our churches. We don't need to, as Brother Thurman just said, this house of God was not made for just anybody. This was made for God's people to come in, get God's instructions, and worship God as a church. Amen. That's it. We here just recently, we start saying, we leave the doors unlocked with a man at the door until the singing is done. If you came in late after that, it's too bad. And we lock the doors after that. There's a thing for security nowadays. Amen. But you know, we could have done that even if there was no problem of church shooters.
Absolutely.
Because this ain't about, the Bible tells us not to bring them into the house of God to get saved. Bible tells us to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, not to the house of God, but into the family of God. We're to go out. And so we need to be a sheepdog watching. My dad, again, he was my hero, amen. Well, he was a missionary in Germany for American military for almost 25 years. And he was at a Christian quote-unquote bookstore there in Germany that was right off one of the military bases. So most of the books in there were English. They were trying to service the soldiers there. He was at this Christian bookstore, and he's in an aisle looking at a book, and he heard that some man talking to the woman at the counter. And this guy was telling her that the ministry that God had called him into was he would go to churches, and he would get with them for a few weeks, and he would hear what the preacher was preaching, and he would find out where the preacher was wrong in his doctrine. And then he would, as the people got to know him, he would invite people over to his house for Bible study, where he would instruct them on how the preacher was preaching wrong. And then once they were understanding of the wrongs of their pastor, he would take them and he would go form another church that was right. My dad said he looked around that corner and he got a real good look at this guy.
Amen.
He said the first thing that got him was the guy was in a tank top and a little pair of Richard Simmons running shorts. Amen. But he got a good look. He got a good look at his face. And that next service, my dad told the men of the church in the pulpit, he says, if somebody walks through them doors one day and I tell you, men, grab him, throw him out, don't ask questions, just do it. Why? Because that's a sheepdog. He's trying to take care of God's sheep. We need to be sheepdogs again. We're so afraid of offending somebody. Secondly, we need to be a servant. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. You know, so often as preachers, if we're not careful, we can get to this place that we're above the people.
You're right, bro.
It's the Nicolaitan doctrine that Jesus hates.
Amen.
If we think we get to where we're above the people, then when the afflictions come, which more often than not come from the other sheep, amen. That's the sad tale. But more often than not, that's where the most of our problems come from. If we can't endure that affliction, then what's going to happen is we're going to lash out. We're going to destroy God's sheep instead of feeding them. We need to be a servant. A servant to God, but a servant to our people. I'm not particularly a big fan of a certain pastor out California way, but he does have it right when he talks about being a servant leader.
Right.
We need to be servant leaders. We are there to stand for God and lead God's people, but we're there to serve them as well as we serve Jesus Christ. So lead as a servant. Don't let the afflictions that come upon us make us hateful of the people. Don't let the afflictions that come upon us make us want to leave the people. There are too many preachers leaving because things got a little hard. Things got a little hard. Now, I can't, you know, I agree. There's probably times when a preacher just going to have to leave because they don't want a pastor. They want a hireling. And they're not going to follow no matter what. God gives the green light to go. But I'm afraid there's too often guys go without no green light.
That's right.
They just leave because they couldn't endure the affliction. Why? Because they weren't a servant. They wanted the people to bow down to them instead of washing their feet. We need to be a servant. Servants, it don't matter what the master puts on them. Whatever affliction the pastor put, the master is the master. Amen? So if the master's allowing the affliction, we just need to bear under it, be a servant. Lastly, he says there in verse 5 again, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. The work of an evangelist, be a sower. Be a sower. Going back to Brother Harvey, our first thing is to win souls, isn't it? Our church, we're just a little bitty church. And we're in a town that the church has been there since 1963. And we do not have one family, one person that lives in that town besides the Danford family, who he's an evangelist, so he's never there. Amen. But which is a praise God for him especially. Amen. Like to be busy when you're an evangelist. But we don't have any other family in the town that's a part of our church. And that has broken my heart. And as I've talked to Brother Thurman, who was pastor there, talked to Brother Danford, who was pastor there, I've seen that it's been an ongoing thing. And there was a point in time as a young pastor there that I was like, well, was there an issue with the church? Did the church do wrong somewhere? We need to handle something. But as I talked to these two men and I tried to study the history of the church, I could find no wrongdoing on the behalf of the church. In fact, the hard feelings were because the church did right and took hard stands. And a little bitty community of Lisdon, 500 folks, you know, got mad about it. And they're still holding grief over it.
For generations
now. And so God, I was talking to my friend, Brother Stephen Perkins. He's my best friend in the ministry and a counselor to me. And he was with us one time not too long ago. I said, I'm thinking about maybe the Lord would want us to shut down the church here and open up in another location around the area. There at Danville, the west side of Danville needs a church. And man's, Speedway needs a church. There's needs for churches all over. Said maybe God would have us shut down here in Lisdon. They've rejected and we need to just open up somewhere else. And he said, have you fasted and prayed about it? Well, you know that thing of fasting, you know, I never thought about that. And he took me there, you know, this time coming not out but by fasting and prayer. And so our church started every first Saturday of the month. Fasting and praying as a church for the town of Lisdon. Now, we have not seen anybody come. We haven't seen anybody get saved yet. But I'm asking God to do it before the year's end. Give us one family out of Lisdon that we could win to Christ, baptize them, start discipling them. That's our desire. If God, I know God wants to do that, but if nobody will heed the calling of God, by the year's end, then I don't know what. I'm asking God, are you trying to tell us that it's time to move to another area and maybe there's another area that will accept the gospel? I don't know. But we have to go out. I can't just pray and I can't just fast. I got to go tell people. I got to give the gospel. I got to be a sower. And that really is what an evangelist is in a large part. Now we go back and forth on many things about a biblical evangelist. But when you look at Philip, the only one called an evangelist in the Bible, and I'll tell you what he was doing. He was out evangelizing, sowing seed, preaching the word of God, winning people to the Lord. Now, as they came to Christ and as they wanted to follow the Lord, he baptized them and I think started workings of a beginning of a church there. Amen? But his primary thing he was doing, I mean, he left there even before I think the church came to fruition in Samaria. God sent him out to the desert for what? To preach the gospel to one person. Amen. Sow some seed.
Amen.
You know, we get on people in our congregations about saying, well, that's the pastor's job. That's the pastor's job. That's the pastor's job. Sometimes I'm afraid that we pastors get to the place of when it comes to going out soul winning, well, that's the people's job. You know, the apostle said that we formed deacons so that we could give ourselves to what God gave us to, and that's the praying and the studying of the Word of God. But I don't see anywhere that the apostles stopped going out and trying to tell people the gospel either. We need to be sowers. We need to be sowers. Look at where he says there at the end. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. That word proof is talking about prove it. Prove it. Are you called to God? Prove it. You call to God, prove it. And these are the ways to prove it. Preach the word. Amen? We need to preach it. We need to persist in the work. We need to prove the watch. But we need to prove this ministry. But he says there another word with that. Foolproof. Foolproof. In other words, don't just prove in one little area. I'm preaching the word. But are you persisting in the work? I'm persisting in the work. And I'm preaching the word. But are you proving your watch? Are we doing everything that Paul says we need to do to make full proof of our ministry? Again, I'm just a young whippersnapper. You guys have been at this a lot longer than I have. Some of you have been alive a lot longer than I have. Well, I should say all of you have been alive a lot longer. But I mean in the ministry is a lot longer. Saved a lot longer. Who was it? Brother Harvey? Who was it that it got saved or something in 1975? Something happened in 1975 for him. The other night, one of the preachers, it was either they got saved in 1975 or something. And I was thinking in my head, man, that's the year I was born. Amen. might have been. That was the year I was born. I'm thankful for older men of God. Keep being the example to me. Don't slow down. Keep the charge of God. Make full proof of thy ministry. Preacher.